networking obviously is huge. Never be afraid to reach out to anybody. Most people you'll find are going to be willing to help out because everyone came from the same place. You know what I mean? You don't just wake up one day being the president or vice president. Everyone works their way up for the most part.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Arman Ahluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugene. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Ridao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of eProcast. I'm your host, The Big E, and I hope you all are staying safe and healthy during these really challenging times, guys. The vaccine is going all over the world now, and I hope this will be a step forward towards all of us getting back into the stadiums and getting together and share a coffee, a beer, and some good chats very, very soon. If you're new to the podcast, I would really appreciate if you subscribe to the podcast on the platform that you're listening to this one. It goes basically on all major platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, Anchor, Google Cast, etc., etc., etc. I think there are like 8 or 9 of them. So I'd really appreciate if you subscribe, rate, and review. We're also on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Let's connect. And if you have an idea for any future episodes, or if you want me to bring someone that you think has an awesome story, or you know someone who has an awesome story, just let me know and I'll make sure we're getting them on the podcast and make it even more fun. In this episode, I had an awesome chat with Alex Seitz, the VP of sales at Pensacola Blue Wahoos. You might have heard about the Wahoos. They are the first team in the world that listed their ballpark, their stadium, their home on Airbnb last year. And it's been an awesome move and really smart move, taking into consideration that no games are played there at the moment due to the pandemic. And what an awesome idea to keep that revenue coming. Also, a couple of days ago, they've announced a partnership with the Miami Marlins. And also, we're going to talk about this as well. Alex is an awesome guy and an awesome professional in the sports industry, and the passion for sports took him all over the United States, all the way from Eureka, Illinois, where he is originally from, to Tennessee, then to New Orleans, Miami, and now in Pensacola. So I hope you get a lot of value out of our conversation, and without further ado, let's dive right into it. Enjoy.
So welcome back to a new episode of eProcast. And I'm excited to have alongside me today the VP of sales at Pensacola Blue Wahoos, Alex Seitz. Alex, how are you doing?
Great, Big E. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. It's a funny story because I was visiting my brother in Pensacola in December, and I missed on such a great opportunity to see you in person. Well, but you got you're not from Pensacola. Can you share where are you from originally? And of course, you had to leave for vacation, and that makes sense. So I'm happy you got to spend some quality family time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry I missed you there. Everyone needs a little vacation, I guess, right? Which is what you were doing. So yeah, when you reached out to me, I was disappointed because I was looking forward to having a cup of coffee, kind of catching up and chatting. But I'm originally from Central Illinois, Peoria, Bloomington area, Eureka to be more specific. I was up there visiting some family for the new year, kind of traveling around, did a week in New Orleans, and then with where my girlfriend Holly is from, and then went up to visit some family, like I mentioned, in Central Illinois for a week. So I was gone a total of 2 weeks. But really disappointed. I missed out on meeting with you here in Pensacola.
No, that's cool. And we'll get into a little bit deeper into what Blue Wahoo does and what's the mission of this club. And of course, the latest thing that for what Blue Wahoo's got known globally, and it's funny. I think everyone will be shocked to know that, whoever doesn't know what happened. But let's get more into your background, and if you can share more about, because you have more than 10 years now experience in the sports business, and of course you moved a lot of places as well. So how you connected your life with sports, and specifically now working in sports business?
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, growing up, I grew up on the middle of a cattle farm in the middle of nowhere, Illinois. So you know, that's kind of where my background came from. You know, I always knew about, you know, hard work, and you know, watched my dad do everything that he did on that. But I mean, I grew up in a sports family. Every single sibling played sports in some capacity. I have two older sisters, one older brother. My brother wrestled in college, sister track. My other sister played Division I basketball at Bradley University. So I kind of had that, you know, coming up behind every one of them, had that, got to watch them have their success and grow up in sports family. So I kind of did a little bit of everything. I wrestled coming up until about high school. Then I kind of caught on with basketball. Ended up playing in college for a little bit. Had a knee injury that kind of torqued from the playing side and moved over to the business side. So,
yeah, I think it's something normal. How tall are you?
6'3".
6'3". Okay, I'm 6'5". I'm also having a little bit of knee injuries when, you know, pain in the knees when whenever you jump, you know, stuff like that. So I think this is the most common thing when it comes to basketball players and stuff.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear it a lot. You know, people always start playing and then they think they can go and then they realize they can't. So they just kind of, have to pivot. Right. Same story on my end. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got my start. I knew I wanted to work in sports. I didn't know what I wanted to do specifically. So I was lucky enough to get an internship where I'm from there in Peoria with the Chiefs, which were the single A Cubs back in the day. Now the Cardinals. Started off doing just game day promotion, sponsor activation, really dancing on dugouts, doing the whole dressing up as a mascot type of situation. Still after that, wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. So I ended up doing another internship in West Tennessee with they used to be the Diamond Jacks. Now they're the Jackson Generals, Double A Mariners. So that's when I first got I did a sales internship there, sales and marketing. So I got to kind of see the sales world for the first time. Really, really enjoyed it. So that's once I got done with that, I ended up getting my first full-time job in Memphis, Tennessee, with the Memphis Redbirds, AAA Cardinals, as a ticket sales executive. Going through this quick, but you know, I was there for about 3 years, ended up getting the opportunity to lead a sales team, my first leadership role in New Orleans. We were the Zephyrs and we were the AAA Marlins there. So I led their sales team for about a year and a half. Got discovered on LinkedIn from an agency called Prodigy Sports. Mark Gress reached out to me, said the Miami Heat were looking for to build their ticket sales after LeBron had just departed.
Yeah.
So they got rid of their sales team for the most part. So once LeBron left, they needed to rebuild that department. So I was a part of that initiative, one of the first ones to come in after the post LeBron era to come in and they kept that success up. So I was able to do that in Miami for about 4 years. I loved getting back into to the NBA from, having a basketball background. And then again, kind of had an online profile for employment, which is where Pensacola Blue Wahoos found me. I guess they saw my background, thought it'd be a good fit. So they reached out about this vice president of sales position and always looking to advance my career. So that's kind of just a quick synopsis of how I moved into this role. So I just kind of took over.
Yeah. Can you share more about that moment when, I found this common, either someone applies for a certain position or they get, headhunted, which is the most common word for this. But can you talk more about how Wahoos found you, how they, offered you the position and how, if you can rewind that moment?
Yeah. So, that specifically, I had most of my background, obviously, is in minor league baseball, outside of the 4 years that I spent in the Heat with the NBA. So a lot of minor league jobs, I mean, obviously teamwork online, but back then when I was coming up, a lot of jobs were posted on what they call PBO. It's a short for Professional Baseball Employment Opportunity website. So PBEEO.com. So I had created a profile on there and just kind of had I guess I still had it active. I was at the Heat for 4 years, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from Pensacola. They thought I was still in New Orleans, which is where I had left my profile off. So they called me and like, hey, just want to talk to you. We know you're over in New Orleans. I'm like, well, that was 4 years ago. So yeah, that's just kind of how they found me. I guess my profile on there was still active, and they came across it as they had this vacancy here in New Orleans or in Pensacola. So they reached out and thought, you know, saw my background, saw where I'd been, what I've done. So that's kind of how the initial spark happened.
Right. And Pensacola, definitely, I think besides University of West Florida, there's no other sports organizations, or you can correct me if I'm wrong, what other sports organizations coming from Miami, where you have, you know, all this, you know, it's one of the top cities in the world with when it comes to sports, and how it was to shift to a completely new place where there's basically no sports organizations.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely been shocked a few times in my life. The first time going from minor league baseball selling $5 tickets to then going to Miami Heat to that value.
Yeah,
and then like you said, going from Miami where you have the Dolphins, you have the Panthers, you have the Marlins, you have, you know, FIU, University of Miami, you know, all kinds of different sports properties, let alone South Beach nightlife, all kinds of different stuff. Coming to Pensacola, where you still have, you know, like you said, University of West Florida, defending, you know, Division II national champion football team, all other great sports. But like you said, as far as sports properties go, we really didn't have any, I guess, competition. Mm-hmm. The closest we had the Mobile Bay Bears, which obviously just relocated up to Huntsville to come in the Rocket City Trash Pandas. So, you know, they moved out. So, I mean, really the closest thing we have off the top of my head is, you know, obviously the Biloxi Shuckers, which is about an hour and a half away. And then on the other side, you have Florida State Athletics in Tallahassee. So that's about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have a pretty good market share as far as, you know, getting out and doing the whole sports scene. Obviously, the Pensacola Ice Flyers are right here too, the hockey team.
But you also have a non-sport organization, if you will, the Blue Angels. Are you a fan of Blue Angels?
Exactly. Yeah, they're always out here at the stadium, flying around, practicing. So we always get a show for lunch.
Yeah, my brother actually lives, because I told you I visited him in December. He lives like 5 minutes away from their station, and like I think they're practicing like every day, but they have like team practices on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just the noise level is just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always funny. I'm on the phone with clients, and all of a sudden it's just boom right out my window. Like, did you hear that?
Alex, can you share more about your current responsibilities in your role at the Wahoos?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so obviously minor league baseball staffs are you know, on the smaller side typically. So no matter what you do in minor league baseball, you're probably going to have a little bit of say or hand in anything in regards to the team. Me specifically right now, my main category is I oversee our group sales department, our season ticket sales department, or ticketing, our creative service, graphic design team, and production, as well as corporate sales, so partnership sales with companies. So I oversee those departments right now, and then me as well. I sell corporate partnerships. It's one of my main focuses for the team to help drive revenue on that side of the business. So a fairly small staff. I think, you know, I oversee on a max, probably anywhere from 10 to 15 employees at a time. Right now, I think we're at 9.
Right. And you had to cut down a bit of staff because of COVID, or?
Not really. No, we have a tremendous ownership group, as you know. Quint and Richie Studer are majority owners. We have Bubba Watson. Obviously, most people know Bubba Watson, Randall Wells. The Hall of Fame linebacker, Derek Brooks, is part of our ownership group from the Tampa Bay Bucks. And then John List and Dana Suskin are friends of Quint Studer's from Chicago. So, they were one of the first teams to say, we came out and told everybody, hey, a lot of craziness going on in the world. You know, we want you to know that, you know, this is how much we care about you. And no one's going to lose their jobs. Everyone's safe, which really takes a load off in the moment when, you know, yeah. everyone around you is getting furloughed or getting laid off. You know, to have that comfort, you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. So luckily we were able to keep everyone on staff during the time, still have not laid anybody off. And we're looking forward to 2021.
How did your partners and sponsors react to, of course, it affected everyone. How did this affect your partnership with Blue Aarhus? Did some of the, any sponsors or, you know, partners somehow backed off or?
No, we have a great partner base here in Pensacola. Obviously, every single person was affected in some way, some shape or form. Like I said, we're so community driven, just like our partners. That's what, you know, it's really important to find partners that align with your mission and your values and your vision and your principles. So pretty much everyone that we work with, you know, has that, and they know that everyone's going through some times right now, which that's where it comes in as a true partnership, in my opinion. Because they know that, you know, we need as much cash as possible to that we can keep on, you know, employees and, you know, we're trying to do what's right. At the same time, we know that they have the same thing. They may not, you know, be trying to keep their employees and, you know, they need operating cash. So on both ends, our end and their end, very understandable. Hey, if you need this, you know, I know you paid in full for your partnership this year, but if you need that back, like, no problems, no questions asked. You know, here you go. And we had some that like, hey, we're not going anywhere. We just, you know, we'd like a refund for now, and then we'll be right back. No problem. You know, passed over. And then you had some that, you know, hey, we don't need that. You guys keep it. You know, we're on board. We're looking forward to next season. So it was really a two-way street, and our partners are just phenomenal here. So it was really a kind of a seamless process. Obviously, some difficulties here and there, but for the most part, everyone was very understanding on both ends. So it was good.
I completely understand. And kudos for you. I mean, you mentioned everyone's got, you know, issues and problems. And of course, your partners must probably also needed cash flow back. And but kudos to you for, you haven't, there were no games. So basically you had to think of different ways to make those, to activate those partnerships, and one of them we'll talk in a second. But can you share more about what Aarhus, because you touched base on two things, mission and vision. When it comes to Aarhus, what is the mission and the vision of the Aarhus, and how how you get to sell Aarhus, how you sell them as Aarhus to partners?
Yeah, for sure. So the Aarhus are one of many of Quentin Rishi's endeavors, obviously. So we're just one arm of the Studer family of companies. We have a Studer Community Institute, which is kind of a really community-centric, it's community-driven project, nonprofit that, you know, helps, you know, businesses leadership, grow their leaders. So they'll have trainings, they'll have community type events. And again, we have 5/11, which is kind of like an event concert, like for weddings and rehearsals and things like that. So many different things that we do to try to help our community. So that's where the Aarhus mission lies, is to improve the quality of life here in Pensacola for our residents. So anything that we can do to do that, you know, we're going to have events at the stadium. A lot of things that we do don't make, you know, necessarily financial sense, but at the same time, it's given the community an avenue to get out, have fun with the family, and really improve their quality of life here in the community. So that's really our mission, and that leads into our vision to make Pensacola the greatest place to live in the world, which always set the bar high. You know, we're always looking to improve and you know, get tourism here and really make Pensacola, you know, a destination. Try to grow businesses through entrepreneurship, kind of try to keep the young talent here in the community to help grow from the ground up. We've really been able to help improve downtown, having the ballpark down here. So Great story. I know you're planning on talking to Quint later, which he'll take a deeper dive into that for sure. A lot of things to say. So I don't want to spoil too much, but that's
yeah, just kind yeah of that's spoiler alert. Yes, guys. Well, we're gonna have Quint Stutter on the pod in a few weeks' time. So stay tuned for that one. Getting back to you, so Peoria to Jackson, Tennessee, then to Memphis, Tennessee, then to New Orleans, Louisiana, then to Miami, Florida, and now in Pensacola, Florida. That's really crazy. How flexible should someone be if they want to work in sports?
It's an imperative, to be honest with you. I know some people are very lucky, you know, they'll get a job with their hometown team and grow. I know some people in the industry have only worked for one team and they've been there for 30 years. I mean, that's extremely, extremely rare, especially in today's climate, where, you know, you have a bunch of people. It's very competitive right now in the market for employment. So you got to do different things that are going to be able to set yourself apart. And, you know, if you're fairly narrow-minded and you're saying, okay, I only want to work in the NBA and here's my four favorite teams, you could be waiting for a while. So definitely have to be open to everything, different leagues, different sports, different cities, and be able to move. Not saying that's the only way you're going to get a job for sure, but that's definitely going to help your case. Being able to relocate, be flexible, and be open. So that's very important.
Yeah. Do you think it's because you mentioned there are professionals who are like 30 plus years in the same place, in the same for so working for the same organization. We get this a lot here in Eastern Europe where, you know, you have, you know, and, you know, we have, it comes also from our parents, you know, like, oh, if you're in the same place for a longer time, it's, you know, it shows stability and so on. Like when it comes to sports, do you think this is healthy for a person to be in the same organization for that long period of time?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's that's always the goal. Like I don't enjoy moving necessarily, but yeah. At the same time, I mean, that does, like you said, it does show stability. You know, I mean, if that was a bad organization, that, you know, that person probably wouldn't be there, or, you know, they wouldn't be in the same position. So, I mean, that's to me personally, everyone's a little different. Some people enjoy the move. They enjoy the excitement of the new city. They, you know, if they love advancing their career, that's, you know, nothing wrong with that. But like you said, it's, my goal, I would enjoy being at the same team, I think, and having that stability and, you know, not moving kids around. I don't have any, but not moving children around to different schools. So
yeah,
that's definitely a goal of mine. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with staying in the same spot as long as you're happy. That's the main thing. As long as the team's happy with you being there, you're in good shape.
And you're doing a tremendous job with getting interns on board. I saw, I think last year, some of the openings for interns. How does the internship look like in your organization?
So I think our internship's a little different. It's an unpaid internship. It's for college credit. So you have to be going to school, taking classes. We're all about, you know, learning and trying to grow your career from the start. We do have other positions that are post-grad. They're called trainees. Those are paid positions. But as far as our internships go, those are unpaid and for college credit. So basically, you know, we'll put you in a specific category, whether that's, you know, sales, whether that's media, whether that's promotions, in different areas. And we have something called Wahoo's U, which is Wahoo's University. So you're basically coming in, you're learning about the job, what it takes to do that department, or what it takes to run a minor league baseball team, and then, you know, you're taking classes here. So we'll have all of our department heads and our leadership group come in and speak to the Wahoos University, basically like you're taking classes. So that way you learn about each department, and then you're actually in it. So it's a lot of fun. We do it every year. It's a big hit in the program. So everyone seems to enjoy it. So.
Do you get a lot of local students, or is the University of West Florida providing some sort of, or what kind of students are you getting on board for these internships?
It's all over the place. To be honest with you, it's not more local than not local. I mean, we do work with the University of West Florida to bring in some of their students, but it's not solely for that. We are in the process of bringing on our internship class this year. We have some as far as New York and some on the West Coast. I mean, they're traveling down here. Nothing wrong with white sand. That kind of helps everybody make the decision for them. But we do have a lot of out of town students that come down.
No, that's cool. And of course, we're talking a bit before this episode about pandemic and pivoting, and of course how y'all guys pivoted during the pandemic. And I want more specifically to talk about how you got known even in our parts in Europe, in Eastern Europe and everywhere in the world. You guys are the first ones, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the first team to list their ballpark on Airbnb.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so that was a pretty exciting move there. So,
how the idea came to your mind, guys?
Well, so when it first started, the pandemic, and everything was kind of getting crazy, we knew that we were going to have to, if we weren't going to let go employees, we had to find a way to bring that revenue in and find very creative and unique ways so that we were able to keep staff. So we really tasked our staff to brainstorm anything you can think of. No, there's no wrong answers, nothing. Put everything on the table. What can we do? What can we do to get fans here to not only bring in that revenue, but also, again, going back to the community, provide an avenue for people to safely, get out and enjoy some open fresh air. So we tasked our staff, like I said, to come up with as many ideas as possible. We took our staff and broke everyone into different groups. So we did an events group, we did a food and beverage group, we did an operations group, we did, so anyone in tickets all of a sudden might be helping with food and beverage and doing it that way.
Yeah.
But we tasked them with coming up with ideas. So we came up with movie nights. We came up with kind of like a almost like a driving range here at the stadium, bingo, anything you can think of, we tried to come up with. And then one night, our owner and his daughter were discussing, we're doing the same process that we did, kind of brainstorming what can we do. Quint's daughter actually came up with the idea because she has an Airbnb. She has her own Airbnb on the side. She's like, I do it all the time. What if we turn the stadium into an Airbnb and, we could kind of do that and, do it that way. She has the background for it. So that's kind of how the idea came when Quint and our president, Jonathan Griffith, came over and we started discussing, is this, can we do this? Is this possible? So we quickly got up an Airbnb staff, kind of added that into our staff categories, I guess, and created an Airbnb team to kind of spearhead, can we do this? Reached out to Airbnb and kind of got that started. And we tasked our group sales manager, Bailey Tate, with leading our Airbnb program, which she's done a phenomenal job getting that set up. And, as soon as we announced it, it took off. Like you said, it was unreal. We were on ESPN, we were on all kinds of different crazy things, and like you said, we had a part of our internship trainee program the year before. We had a student from Japan, so she had worked with us there and since had gone back to Japan, and she was texting us pictures on the front page of a newspaper in Japan about the festival of Wuhahu, is where she had just come from working. So it was really exciting to see and watch it take off and watch our staff respond.
To give a little bit more context, this experience was like $1,500 for a night and a day, for up to 10 for a person and plus 9. They could get access to all the amenities and get to throw a pitch on the ballpark on the grass. Of course, the views you mentioned, it's right at near the water. Since you listed on day one, what has been the craziest I don't know, the craziest guest. What was the craziest thing that happened on that on the ballpark?
Oh man, it's pretty crazy. trying to think. I mean, you have some everything from, you know, little kids and their parents coming in, like little league teams coming in, to bachelor parties, to all kinds of crazy shenanigans back there. So you learn quick and gain a lot of respect really fast for those and who work in the hotel and hospitality business, because you know you're changing fairly dirty sheets every once in a while from two people partying too hard. You're doing all kinds of stuff, but it's pretty crazy with the stories that come through from our Airbnb team, because we have a staff member that stays the night. You know, they spend the night at the stadium with the group. We actually had one just check out just now this morning here. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah, like you said, it's $1,500 for 10 people to have access to the field, to the batting cages, take batting practice, and everything. We have ping pong tables, pretty much anything you can think of, we can make happen. So really, when you think about it, $150 a person, it's really nice. So we open up the home clubhouse, and we actually can open up the visiting clubhouse as well. So it can be up to 20, for $1,500 per 10, but.
We'll get more on this subject with Quint in a few weeks. But now I invite you, Alex, to play with me the hot stone. So I'll shoot at you some quick hitters, quick questions. Just tell me your first thing that comes to your mind, and let's rock and roll.
Oh man, I'm bad at these.
All right, so hot stone with Alex Sides starts right now. Alex, who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Probably Michael Jordan. I grew up in Illinois. Obviously, I was a huge Bulls fan when he was coming up. Everyone was. It was the Michael Jordan craze. So probably Michael Jordan, I would say.
All right. Who's your favorite female athlete of all time?
Oh, man. All time. I don't know. I got to say probably Candace Parker. I played basketball with a buddy in college who grew up with Candace and went to high school with her and knew her pretty well. But just watching her, you know, at Tennessee and the Pat Summit, that whole crew coming up, and I was always in basketball. My sister was in basketball. So I'm kind of following that woman. I think she was the big thing at that time when I was coming up with my basketball. So
that's cool. So what's your favorite venue in the world?
Favorite venue? Let's see. I've only been other parts of the world once. So I'm kind of limited to the U.S. I did go to the NFL London last year and watched at the brand new stadium out there. And so that was a really cool stadium, being able to...
Was it the Tottenham Stadium or which one?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it was. So that brand new stadium out there was really cool. But I'm a huge Bears fan, so I got to be a home at, say, Soldier Field.
Soldier Field. Greatest place. That's cool. What's your favorite event of all time?
Favorite event of all time that I've been to?
Well, in general.
In general? I'd say the Super Bowl. I always wanted to go. I mean, that's something that you look forward to every year. Well, if your team's in it, I haven't with the Bears. But yeah, it's something that's, you know, you look forward to every year. I'm a huge football fan, huge NFL guy. I love watching it. So big weekend this weekend. So
yeah. The Bears are into it. So they're playing in the wild card series. So that should be a good one. And also that it's the next Super Bowl is in Tampa, is right. Next door to 6 hours from Pensacola, but still it's close.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was in Miami. I used to go to Raymond James all the time. I actually had season tickets with the Bucks for a little bit, just to kind of get that experience. So I used to go to Raymond James all the time. Great place to eat.
That's cool. And what's your go-to, or anyone, if they go to the Blue Ajo's ballpark, the go-to food?
Oh man, we have a special sandwich called the Crabzilla. It's a shareable sandwich. You guys got to look it up. So it's our executive chef Travis Wilson kind of came up with the concept. Soft shell crab, anything you can think of is on this sandwich. We're actually going to be, it became so popular that we're going to be the Pensacola Crabzillas for a little bit next year. rebranding the team a little bit. So you'll see some, our merchandise just dropped yesterday. So you can kind of go check that out on our Twitter handle and our website, social media pages.
Yeah, that's cool. And who is, from your point of view, and I think this is going to give a little bit of awareness to the team in general of the Wahoos. Who is the best Blue Wahoo player of all time from your point of view?
Oh man, we have quite a few. I probably got to say either Didi Gregorius or Billy Hamilton. Obviously, Billy Hamilton, the speedster, broke the stolen base record here in Pensacola. For being such a new team, I'll say new, we started started playing in 2012. So coming up on a little less than about 10 years, we've had so many great guys come through, Pensacola. Ben Lively is another great name. In last year, I mean, when we were at the Twins, we had three first round draft picks on our team at the same time. So Royce Lewis, Alex Kirilloff, all those guys. So we've had some names you might not know yet, but you definitely will within the next 2 years or so.
Yeah, that's really cool. And the next one is going to be, I think is going to bring a lot of value. Like, what would be your top advice to the guys who want to get a foot in the door in this industry, or who want to transition from what they do at the moment towards working in sports?
I would say networking obviously is huge. Never be afraid to reach out to anybody. Most people you'll find are going to be willing to help out because everyone came from the same place. You know what I mean? You don't just wake up one day being the president or vice president. Everyone works their way up for the most part, unless you're super lucky or have some family. But networking is huge. That's how I got quite a few of my roles, to be honest with you, is just knowing people, because I've reached out, I've gone to, different networking events. I've gone to, the Teamwork Online events that they host, job fairs, kind of everything, anywhere you go, don't be afraid to walk up and talk to somebody, just to, at the very least, introduce yourself. So, you want to definitely be open, to chatting to anybody and everybody, cause you never know where that's going to lead. I've reached out to people blindly and just said, hey, you know, this is who I am. And just if you hear anything, this is what I'm looking to do. And, you know, you'll be surprised. I've gotten some phone calls, be like, hey, remember you introduced yourself to me, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. I have this opportunity. It's not with me, but here, I know this person. And you know, they're always doing that. So that's probably number one in my book is always be open. Definitely don't be afraid to reach out and talk to people for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And, Alex, before we're wrapping it up, can you share with the listeners how they can, if they still have any questions or doubts or, who knows, they're in Pensacola, they want to apply maybe for internships, for full-time roles and everything with the Wahoos, how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can, shoot me an email if you'd like. It's my first initial and last name. So asides, ASIDES at bluewahoos.com. Always open to connect on LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message on there. Any job openings or you want to learn more about the Blue Wahoos, Quint Studer, you can go to quintstuder.com. If you're looking for a career specifically, quintstuder.com/careers. Obviously bluewahoos.com. All my information is on there as well. So feel free to reach out anytime. Happy to have any kind of conversation, like I said, and help where I can.
That's really cool, Alex. Thanks a lot for sharing all this awesome insights and your story. And I personally have a great feeling when I'm talking to professionals from minor leagues. I have had a lot of guys who went through minor leagues and now they're in major leagues, or they've been in minor leagues for their entire professional career. And it's really awesome how how open the professionals from the minor leagues are. A person does multiple things, and it's it's really interesting, and it's definitely attractive. I think minor league environment is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, it's one of those things. Everyone is, they spend so much time together. I mean, it's truly a family. No matter, you know, where you're at, or, you know, if I'm at this team and somebody else is at that team, I know what they go through on a daily basis. So, you know, you're there 9 a.m. to midnight for 70 home games out of the year. So you guys are spending quite a few hours together. So definitely, like I said, always willing to help out each other and everybody else. So
that's really cool. I appreciate Alex for taking your time.
Thanks, Biggie. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun today.
That's it. Episode's over. Now go leave a rate and review on the platform you're listening to this podcast. And also tell your friends to listen to it, and also hopefully they get value out of this. And if there's anything I can do for you, my links are going to be in the episode notes. If you've got any questions or an idea for a future episode, we're also doing the Instagram Live series. The next one is coming very, very, very soon, so stay tuned for that one. And I will see you in the next episode. Peace out.